I had the great pleasure of getting to go to the symphony last night and hearing this extraordinary piano concerto from Rachmaninoff. But something else struck me, something that strikes me just about every time I go to the symphony. As you come in, the instrumentalists are on stage. They're all warming up some 90 instruments, each playing something different. And then all of a sudden, the concert A from the oboe comes above the whole din of different melodies being played simultaneously. It cuts right through it. And suddenly, something remarkable happens. All these various instruments start playing the same note, except that it's not exactly the same note, because they are slightly out of tune. And so as the oboe continues playing, the strings adjust the tautness so that either, you know, more taut or less taut, they finally come to match the tune of the oboe, and now, finally, everyone is playing the same note. Imagine if you tried to tune without the benefit of that clear pitch from the oboe. You might sit listening to the instrument next to you and you're moving up and down relative. You might make some gains, but finally it's an exercise in futility. But with the absolute pitch that sounds out from the oboe, all of the instruments can come together and they make a symphony, from the Greek, sun phoneo, voice together, to speak in unison. I was thinking of this as I read this remarkable reading from the prophet Habakkuk, which we heard in our first reading today. Notice what happens there. We begin the same way as when you enter into the symphony hall. There's a lot of confusion, and Habakkuk gives us, in this breathless array, all of the sense of the chaos of a world that is out of sort. In short, clipped sentences, he gives us a catalog. Violence, ruin, misery, destruction, strife, and clamorous discord. I think Habakkuk must have been reading our newspapers. Doesn't it sound like our world? Strife, clamorous discord, everywhere you look, out of sorts, out of tune, out of harmony. Here's what we can learn from Habakkuk. As he goes from one thing to the next, all of this disorder is so all-consuming that it begins to form the entire field of his vision. It's all that he can see anymore, and that's why, at the very beginning of the reading, we hear the cry of his heart, which comes out like a great complaint. How long, O Lord? I cry for help, but you don't listen. And then, midway through the reading, like that great note from the oboe, over all this dizzying survey of everything that is broken about the world, there comes the calm, reassuring tone of God's message to Habakkuk. And it's important for us to notice the remarkable change in cadence. Misery, ruin, destruction, clamorous discord, da-da-da. And then all of a sudden God says, write down the vision clearly upon the tablets so that one can read it readily. For the vision still has its time, presses on to fulfillment, and will not disappoint. If it delays, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not be late. The vision, the vision. It is only the vision given by God to us that can cut through all of this and set things aright. That is the only thing that can do it. Now, notice what that means. What cannot do it? No amount of additional information gathering about the brokenness can do it. No more seeing the brokenness in all of its different forms. That finally cannot do what this one vision from God can do. And here's the challenge for us. In our culture, the two most potent forces, entertainment and politics, are caught up in a breathless movement from one thing to the next. Breathless. Faster and faster all the time. And if we allow ourselves to be immersed in that movement, it becomes its own kind of formation. Can you believe the latest thing? Have you read that story? Have you seen this tweet? Or shift now into the world of entertainment. You get to the end of a YouTube video. Oh, YouTube is proposing me 4 more videos to watch. And then I watch one of those, and then, boom, 4 more come up. Have you seen the latest? I don't know, whatever. At the end of binge watching something, oh, Netflix recommends something based on what I like. Oh, I should watch that now too. There's never an end. It's this breathless movement, constantly from one thing to the next. And we wonder why we're so exhausted from politics and from entertainment. It is designed that way. Pope Francis did something astonishing before he was Pope, July 15th, 1990. He talked about this in one of the early interviews he gave as Pope, and I remember being so shocked by what I read that I thought, this can't be true. On July 15th, 1990, Jorge Mario Bergoglio gave up watching TV for the rest of his life. Imagine the silence, the space, the room for God finally to show me something else, something well-ordered that doesn't have me running from one stimulus to the next and getting all lathered up, clearing the space. People sometimes say, and I believe them, they say, you know, Father, I don't have time to pray. I wish I did, but my life is so busy. What's forming me then? Because I guarantee you, something is forming me. And if I'm not making a conscious choice of what is forming me, then I'm just handing myself over to whatever the world wants to propose, and that will be very happy to form me. The theologian Karl Rahner anticipated a lot of this, and he famously said, "The Christian of the future will be a mystic or will cease to be anything at all. We will either be a mystic or we will just be lost, evaporated into the world of whatever's out there to propose a vision to us." It's radical. It's radical. But it's an invitation to joy. Why? Think back to that oboe. The beautiful, clear sound that pierces through all the ambiguity, all the murkiness, all the sense of being caught up in a million things and never seeming to move forward. Pierces right through. We have to contemplate the one who is wholeness itself if we want for that wholeness to enter into our lives and to the lives of our community. Amen.